Welcome to the walkthrough.
What is going on, South Harmon? Welcome to the week 12 edition of the walkthrough. I am your host, Matty Kiwum. I am solo dolo this week. Cody's heading out to Austin, Texas. He's going to see the Longhorns play in person. So I told him, because I'm his good buddy, you know, I said, hey, bud, enjoy Austin. If you can, hit up the mothership. That'd be pretty cool. And I got you. I got you. I'll take on the walkthrough solo style. And I said to myself, you know, it's not going to be the worst. I mean, there's a huge set of bye weeks. This is a bi-NATO-esque storm that we'll see this week and then week 14 as the fantasy football season comes to an end. Sadly enough, I cannot believe that we are here in the home stretch of the fantasy regular season. But we're going to get into it. We're going to get into every single one of the games in the week 12 slate. That is what we do here in the walkthrough, and that is what I will do going solo dolo here on the walkthrough. So let's start with that bye NATO. Let's start there. Who's on bye this week? This week, we will have the Atlanta Falcons, the Buffalo Bills, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the New Orleans Saints, and the New York Giants. That is, it's a rough one. The Falcons are losing a number of players. The Bills, obviously, the Josh Allen teams are a bit scrambling. They've been winning a lot of matchups. When he goes off this week, they'll have to look elsewhere. Bengals, three big-time players there, four if you count the way Chase Brown's been playing. Jacksonville Jaguars is a football team. New Orleans Saints have Alvin Kamara. They have Taysom Hill, which I will say this on a side note, like the Taysom Hill delusion, the big game he had last week, it actually puts fantasy managers in a tough spot because we had to use Fab on a guy we're going to get 0 points from this week and we'll never do that again. Or we had to hold on to a guy through a bye week that you probably weren't even planning on, especially in seasonal. And now he's on bye. Well, we'll always have week 11. And then the Jets, as bad as they are, Breece Hall proved again last week how good he is. Garrett Wilson's been great. Davante Adams has been at least a flex play. And Rodgers and Superflex has been above average. So those six teams are on bye. We will have to make other plans as we build through the slate here in week 12. So let's keep it going. The 1 o'clock game, the 9-1 defending Super Bowl champs, Kansas City Chiefs, head out to the Carolina Panthers to take on the 3-7, 14 seed in the NFC. Playing a little bit better with Bryce Young, but let's see what this game looks like. It projects like a blowout for the Chiefs in potentially the worst way. They are 11-point favorites, and the over-under of 43 kind of suggests here, I don't know if we should be overly excited with these rankings and these matchups in this game. This could be a slow-paced game. And then, of course, betting-wise, home favorites. I know a lot of people, they just see home underdogs by 10 or more points. They just take it. So those people are going to be excited to see that. But again, this matchup here, again, it's the opposite ends of the spectrum. It's despair and it's the oasis. It's the best and the worst. But let's see what these teams have to face. And we're going to start with the Chiefs. And I want to start at tight end because we thought that we were getting the Travis Kelce comeback tour. He was all the way up to tight end 3. He was balling out. He saw, you know, the most targets in the NFL over a 3-week stretch. He was just tight end 1, tight end 2. He was just up there. And then last week, of course, against the Bills, he throws out a stanker. Ran only 22 routes, 4 targets, 2 receptions, 8 yards, only 43 air yards, the lowest since week 7 in that dud game versus the Niners. And I'm starting to see something here that schematically, there are going to be these break periods. We saw in the beginning of the year, 90% snap share, 86, 76, 91, down 80. They gave him a break. 79, 82, 83, 83, down 80. So it seems like they are, for whatever reason, they gave him. But how do I see him playing out this week? How do I project Kelce this week? What do I expect? I have him ranked at tight end 2. The matchup's awesome. He takes on the third most advantageous matchup. The Panthers give 8 points over expectation, over league average, two tight ends. So I got him ranked high. And then for the rest of the playmakers here, I'm not overly excited for the Chiefs. I'll be quite honest. I got Patrick Mahomes outside of my top 12. I need a little bit of clarity in the running back situation. As of right now, I have Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco ranked 28, 29. And once I get clarity, of course, one's going to catapult. But if Isaiah Pacheco gets in some full practices the end of the week and he is projected to start, Kareem Hunt is going to tank pretty low. And I'm nervous because I've traded for Kareem Hunt. He was awesome in the short term for our win now teams, our contenders. Of course, last week wasn't great, but still 60 yards on the ground. If he was getting targeted like he did the week before, perhaps we wouldn't have had such a down week from Kareem Hunt. But on a points per game basis, 15.2 points a game, you'll salute that and you'll say goodbye. But we might be saying goodbye this week. I don't know if he'll be used much when Isaiah Pacheco is back. P-Ryan has carved out the Jerick McKinnon role. That's not going to Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt had the, grind him out right up the middle, make plays for the most part. That was kind of his role, early down stuff. I don't know what his role is going to look like. I'm pretty sad about it. It was good when it lasted. So when I get clarity there, one of these running backs will catapult up and down the ranks because this matchup here against the running backs is the best matchup for running backs. They give up over 12 points over league average to opposing running backs in fantasy football. So one of these running backs I'll be very excited about. And then the pass catchers, believe it or not, Carolina Panthers, they have at least one good outside cornerback. He does project to take on DeAndre Hopkins. I have him outside of my top two wide receivers. He's a kind of wide receiver three flex. When I look at the Cuck score, and if you're unfamiliar with the Cuck score, it is the cornerbacks under constant chaos. It is a model that I've developed over the last couple of years. You can get that by joining the Patreon. So patreon.com/ South Harmon will get you into the Discord. You'll get access to the Cuck score each week. But this week is a pretty bad one for DeAndre Hopkins because he does project to go against J.C. Horn. So I don't love him this week. So really, it's Kelsey. Of course, Mahomes in Superflex is, you're starting him. There's no way there's not many teams out there that have the luxury of just benching him. So we'll put him in there. But let's look at the Panther side of things real quick. What I need to see, the running back situation needs to be cleared up. We need to know what's going to happen with Jonathan Brooks. And then when he is finally ushered back onto the field, what do they do? Do they let him play? Do they give him the Miles Sanders snap share and allow Chuba to do what Chuba been doing? Chuba been absolutely cooking this year for the Panthers. And so I'm going to be playing Hubbard. I mean, you just can't get away from him at, running back 21. The matchup sucks against the Chiefs. The Chiefs have been very good at stopping opposing running backs for fantasy this year. But the Jonathan Brooks thing, it's a lost season. We kind of had been talking about that for a while. But I want to see what that looks like so I can start to get a little bit more confident in my Chuba Hubbard ranking because his volume kept him inside my top 20 weekly. And he's close this week, but, it's one of those things that it's time to kind of push the confirm button. Let me get that uncertainty. Let me feel good about his role because I hate monkey wrenches this late in the season. It just makes it a lot harder. Let's call it what it is. But Bryce Young, he looked okay against the Giants when he went to take on the game in Munich, I believe it was. QB 17, 12 fantasy points, 126 passing yards, 60% accurate, which is it's pretty good. But, I mean, you look at his numbers, he's been fairly accurate. That really hasn't been his issue. So for Bryce Young, I have him slightly higher than consensus, but I'm still outside of my top 20. I'm not all that excited about. And pass catching wise, Thielen's projected to potentially come back this week. What does that look like in relativity to Xavier Leggett? But as a whole, the Kansas City secondary, the Kansas City defense presents a lot of issues. So I'm not really excited to start any of those pass catchers. The pass catcher that I could use in a bind, if you had Kyle Pitts and you didn't back him up with someone who was ready to go in week 12. If you've been riding the Taysom Hill train over the year and you're just looking for a bye week filler, look at Jatavion Sanders. Okay, so Jatavion Sanders was the consensus number two tight end in this class until the process played out. Had a horrible combine, and then end up slipping as a tight end 3, I believe it was, and he didn't go until the fourth round when Ben Sinnott went above him. But make no mistake about it, you know, Jatavion Sanders was a big-time tight end prospect when he went to Texas. He was a big-time performer at Texas, over 600 yards each of his last two seasons. And what we've seen out of Jatavion Sanders, although it's been a bit suppressed because of the sample size, the sample size, but in the games that he's gone on the field, in the games where he's ran, you know, 15 or more routes, which he has been doing now for over five games straight, we've noticed he can separate. He can separate. And then we've seen a couple games now with six, seven, five targets. Did catch a touchdown in that Munich game. Should have had two. Could have had two. So Jatavion Sanders this week against the Kansas City Chiefs, who are the softest matchup for opposing tight ends. Jatavion Sanders, to me, I got him ranked inside my top 15, and he's available all over the place. So Jatavion Sanders is a player that I'm going to be pretty excited to see how that kind of pans out. The next game is a divisional matchup. The 8-2 Minnesota Vikings head to Chi-Town to take on the 4-6 Bears. Bears are getting 3.5 points at home. The over-under of 39 is gross. It's gross. We don't love it. Now, the Vikings side of things, we'll start there because it's pretty straightforward. There's not much to really jump down. I mean, of course, the matchup sucks for Justin Jefferson, but it's Justin Jefferson, so you're going to play him. He's been great. Sam Darnold, though, is where I really want to talk about here because Sam Darnold's been kind of a roller coaster, but the highs have been highs. The lows have been pretty low, but the highs have been nice. And is this week a new week that projects to be a high for Sam Darnold? I'm going to go and say no. The Bears are the worst matchup for opposing quarterbacks. It is going to be outdoors in Chicago. And the Bears last week, although they lost, they could be feeling pretty good about that defense and what they did to the Packers for a majority of that game. I don't love Sam Darnold. Got him outside of my top 15, despite him being a top 12 player on the season. At running back, we're going to play Aaron Jones. He's just a top 20 play every week. Matchup isn't great. Again, the Bears defense is pretty good, but his role on this team has been good enough, and the volume's been there, and he's been a Bear killer throughout his career with the Packers mostly, but still, I think that is something that could happen this week. Again, a low over-under, a lot of kind of easy plays, good on-schedule-esque plays. A lot of that could be going to Aaron Jones. So I still have him as a top 20 play, running back 2 in fantasy at 16. And then again, Justin Jefferson lock and loaded. Addison, I am avoiding between the head injury, obviously the limited practices this week, and then the bad matchup. I really just have him in that boom bust range, that range that, you know, the Alec Pierce's, the Romeo Dubes, Tank Dells, they kind of go as they will. So, like, you got to play him if you're absolutely desperate, but there's some streaming options or lower rostered players that you can jump into to make sure that you don't have to start him. And then Hockenson's just going to be locked into my top 10 all year. We saw the upside 2 weeks ago. It wasn't a great game last week, but he's just going to get healthier. He's just going to become more a cog in this offense. And so I got him at tight end 8. There's really not, you know, there's not many teams that are going to have options, and I'm not going to play a Dissey over him, even though Dissey's been good. I like this. So you got him as, you know, tight end 12. Hockenson's super talented. I'm going to go with Hockenson. All right, let's now talk about the other side of the ball, the Chicago Bears side of things. Now, Caleb looked a hell of a lot better last week, but still not great for fantasy football. Still not something that we're going to the well. We're not very excited to play in 1QB. We're just straight up probably not rostering in 1QB seasonal. But after recording an average time to throw of 2.9 seconds to start the season, Caleb Williams' average has now gone down to 2.42 over the past couple weeks, and we've noticed it. He's just been sped up. Things got ugly, but he looked better. I'm still not playing with fantasy outside of the top 20. Swift, again, running back 20 overall. The volume's there. He's going to be a starting running back in the NFL. That means he's going to probably be an RB2 at worst in fantasy. But again, it's a tough matchup for him. Now, at receiver here, I'm playing Rome and I'm playing DJ Moore. Last week, we saw DJ Moore kind of get going. I think the expectations need to be a bit lower now with him week to week, but 7 targets, 7 receptions, 62 yards, top 30 receiver. I think that we're seeing, like I said, on schedule, on platform, timing throws, easy completions to DJ Moore. And then Roma Dunze had a similar role, you know, 6 catches, 60 yards. And this week, you know, middle of the road matchup for cornerbacks. I think DJ Moore is someone I got in the top 20 play. So I'm going to play him, Roma Dunze, in my flex consideration. I like Roma Dunze. Keenan Allen for me, Keenan Allen to me, for me, from what I saw in film, the usage he was getting was not the reason why they were bad by any stretch, but just didn't make sense to me considering the success DJ Moore had in that role the year before, how simple they were at least able to make things look at times for Justin Fields. It felt like they went back to that a little bit, gave DJ Moore, like, they did not throw the ball to him downfield a whole lot. They kept the ball pretty close to the line of scrimmage, allowed him to make plays, went to him early, went to him often. Like I said, 7 targets, 7 catches, but only 6 air yards. So they really dialed those things up. And in PPR leagues, it's not good. It's not sexy, but it's worth playing. And then, of course, he's always going to be able to score a touchdown or break off a big play because it's still one of the best yak wide receivers. So that's where we'll go with the Bears. Next game on the slate, another divisional matchup. Tennessee Titans take their 2-8 record to Houston to take on the 7-4 AFC South leading Houston Texans. The Titans are 8-point underdogs on the road. The over-under 40.5, again, is not awesome. I don't love it. And you'll see that in the ranks. But we'll just kind of skim through the Texans players because it's pretty straightforward. For me, Stroud, top 12 play, 1 QB leagues. If you can get your hands on a Jared Goff, a Bo Nix, a Geno Smith, let it rock and roll. Hell, even a Justin Herbert is available in shallower leagues. Those are all plays over CJ Stroud, but that's kind of been status quo for him. Better NFL than for fantasy so far this season. But the motherfucker of motherfuckers at running back right now is Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon has been unbelievable. He's been the most productive running back on a points per game basis in fantasy football. He's running back 7 overall, but he missed a couple games there. The warp pops off the charts. He's one of the highest rated warp players in the entire league on a points per game basis. Again, warp is off the charts amongst some of the best, amongst the best, amongst the best in fantasy. Back-to-back 4-target weeks. He's been smashing, of course, that 3-touchdown bonanza against the Cowboys last week. And I don't care that the Titans matchup is tough on the inside, of course, which, you know, big sweat, T-Sweat. Justin Simmons, they've been tough and they've given about 3.5 points less than league average to running backs, but they're also giving up some points in the passing game to backs, and Mixon's just been such a destroyer. So he's a top play. You know, he's one of the best running backs in fantasy. So he's a top 3 play for me this week. And then it's really just Nico in the pass catchers. Nico, we saw it last week. To me, in seasonal formats, because in Dynasty, there's no way this is happening, but in seasonal formats, there may be a slight buying opportunity. I would do that as fast as possible. He has a great matchup. I alluded to the Cuck score earlier in the episode. His Cuck score is the 5th highest so far in this. You know, last week we slayed in the Cuck score. I mean, it had Amon-Ra St. Brown as the highest rated. What did he do? I don't know. Go for 40. It put just Jerry Jeudy in the top 10. What did he do? I don't know. Went off for 30. It was just a big day for the big week for the Cuck score. So I'm going all in on Nico. I'm fading, Tank Dell a bit as kind of just that big plays. Again, that Jordan Addison, that big play range, that's kind of where I'm at for the other pass catches. And then Schultz hasn't really taken advantage of the target share, you know, when Diggs or when Nico Collins was out. I'm done going back to that. Well, I'd rather take a shot on a Theo Johnson or Jatavion Sanders, anybody this week, so... if you're playing the roulette game at tight end, it's okay to let Schultz cut him loose. For the Tennessee Titans side of things, we're really only talking about 2 players, right, at this day and age or at this time of the year, Calvin Ridley and Tony Pollard. For me, both of these guys are top 20 in their position. Ridley, though, I would be a little bit cautious going – being excited about Ridley. I'm playing Ridley in most formats, but I would limit the upside. He is going to see a lot of Derek Stingley, who's a very good, you know, top 10 type of cornerback. But as a whole, the Houston secondary can be taken advantage of by wide receivers. And Tony Pollard, for me, he's a top 20 play. The volume's there. But over the first five games, he was averaging about 15 fantasy points. Over the last five, that number's fallen 4 points to about 11 fantasy points per game. And there's been rumors of fatigue, you know, that extra days off they've been giving him. And this matchup for Tony Pollard is a tough one. Houston has been really, really tough to score fantasy points against this year. They're the 25th, so they're right towards the bottom, and they don't give up shit in the passing game, which, of course, is another reason why we love Tony Pollard. So I'm playing him, you know, if you need to play him in your flex or running back too, but he's a sell candidate for me overall. I think he's a good time to cash your chips in redraft or dynasty and kind of sell at a profit here, given where you were either taking him in the draft or what it cost you to get into some Tony Pollard shares. So, but for this week specifically, this is the walkthrough, the week 12 slate, not trade show, but tune into the trade show this weekend. Adam and Mike are killing the Dynasty Trade Show. You know, one of the best shows that we have here on South Harmon Network. This is the podcast network, so two separate things, but you know, we're killing it. We're doing our thing. All right, I got a little lost here. Let's refocus, Q. See, this is where I need my man Cody to kind of get me locked back in. Last thing I will say about the Titans, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, best ball, yeah. And he's not going to see a lot of Derek Stingley. If you need a what-the-heck flex type play, like, pull the emergency button type flex, yeah, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, of course, in best ball. You fire up in best ball, no problem there. But yeah, I just wanted to bring his name up because again, two catches over 100 yards. It was that massive play. He's just been making plays. You look at his player card and sleeper on ESPN or GBS, wherever you play fantasy, you just kind of notice like, oh, well, back of the baseball card ain't all that bad for Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. This next game, Lord have mercy on the Indianapolis Colts, because the 9-1 juggernaut Detroit Lions take their Honolulu blue over to play the 5-6 Indianapolis Colts in their what I would call royal blue, Colt blue. This is our Colts. We bleed blue. He doesn't specifically say what color blue. But anyway, it's about all the blues here. But it's a bit lopsided. 7.5-point favorites for the Detroit Lions. No surprise there. Over under of 50.5. Again, no surprise there. But what I will say about this specifically is when you look at implied totals, the Lions implied total in Vegas is right around 30. So that leaves, of course, if you can do simple math, which I won't, I will fact check it. It leaves the Colts right around 20% implied. So there's a big discrepancy on who's going to be scoring the points. And I think that needs to be factored in when you're looking at who to attack it. Of course, Detroit, love it across the board. There's just nothing else you can say. It's just been fantastic for Goff, for Montgomery, for Gibbs, for Amon-Ra. So when you scatter across the rankings, again, get these rankings over on southharmonff.com. Goff is in my top 10. Both Montgomery and Gibbs is inside my top 12. Against a very advantageous matchup. The Colts have been the fourth most advantageous matchup for running back. So I love both of these players. Me and Cody talked about on the hurdle. This is the best running back duo of my lifetime. And we've seen some really freaking good ones. Amon-Ra again, receiver one this week, again, popping on the Cuck score, not as high as last week, though. Last week, like I said, number one. And then, of course, he went off to have a top week as he absolutely destroyed the Jaguars there last week. But the guy I want to finish with, I will spend a quick second on Laporta, because Laporta is outside of the top 15 total points or points per game basis, however you want to yop it up. And he has three touchdowns, two of which, though, came on trick plays. So take with that what you will. But this week, I got him into my top 10. The matchup against the Colts, when you're talking about the tight end specific, it's not that bad. He can take advantage of it. And he's been explosive. You know, he has the highest yards per reception, highest yards per target. He just isn't really getting the volume we're seeing right now. You know, he's 26th in total targets. But the focus going to Amon-Ra St. Brown, Kenny Moore, obviously, is going to be tasked with that impossible thing. opportunities for Sam Laporta. Again, I don't love Sam Laporta. If you want to play Disley, if you want to play Hunter Henry, do you want to play Jonnu Smith? Those are the next three guys after Laporta in the rankings. But if I have him, I'm going to play him over, you know, Cole Kmet, over Theo Johnson, over Pat Freiermuth. I'm going to play Sam Laporta this week. I think he could have top 10 potential this week. So fire up Laporta, baby. Let's fire up Laporta. Next game, we're going to talk about another divisional game. So this is a divisional weekend. You can kind of see it when you look at the slate. The New England Patriots, 3-8, head to South Beach to take on the Miami Dolphins, who are 4-6. There's only a game difference in the standings, but there's a big difference on paper. Patriots are getting over a touchdown on the road. Now, last week, I loved getting the points and taking the Patriots, and I thought they were going to be able to handle that. But the bettors bet it way too down by the time I jumped in. It was at 4 points, and that didn't cash. But again, at 7.5 right now, we're recording this on Thursday morning, where I am. See, I miss you, Cody. I said we. Freudian slip. Maybe you're always with me in spirit. That's why I said that. That's weird. But the Patriots, over a touchdown underdog on the road, kind of looks a little juicy to me. I kind of like it. And the over under 46, man, it's Drake May, baby. The May era has been so good for fantasy. Oh, God, it's been so good for fantasy. And they're not even a high-scoring offense. Still with Drake May, the 31st, 32nd, or the 30th rank, depending on what you use, yards per game or points per game. Bad offense. But the Drake May factor, boy, has Drake May pushed these over-unders. If this was a Jacoby Brissett started game, we're looking at over-under probably of 42, 42 and a half. 46 here, probably going to go up. And we've seen Drake May be a top 20 quarterback each of the last week. So let's start there. Let's start with the Patriots side of things. Drake May for me, again, inside my top 20, but it is a tough matchup. The Dolphins have been really good at stopping quarterbacks fantasy-wise, both rushing and passing. So I don't love Drake May this week. I'm avoiding in one QB. I got him outside of my top 15. But I love him for the game, for the nature of the game. The whole thing looks a lot better. Ramondre is just outside of my top 20, but not far off. He is definitely in the running back two range. The volume, they're just not giving Antonio Gibson any volume. And if you have Ramondre, you'll take it. It hasn't been pretty all the time, but he's perennially in the top 20. He has, top 10 upside, and his floor seems to be like right around, running back 30-ish. So I got him at 22. The matchup isn't terrible for running backs. It's actually pretty good on the ground. Miami gives up 6.7 points over league average to rushers on the other side of the running backs. So I'm going to play Ramondre as a running back too. He's in that grouping. Running backs have been so good this year because, I'm looking at my ranks right now, and you rate Najee Harris at 25. And we're not really going to talk about him because his game will have happened by the time you hear this. But, man. Just feels like it's been a good freaking year for running backs. Pass catcher wise, just Hunter Henry for me on the Patriots side of things. Pop Douglas in PPR, flex worthy. If you're absolutely decimated by buys, I would play him over Wandale Robinson, Keenan Allen. I'd play him over Elijah Moore. But again, you will already have known the more you have made that decision. But in that range, I'm going to play him over those guys. So in a pinch, but Henry's okay for me. Henry's been pretty much a mainstay. It's weird. When you look over the aisles of Patriots lore, Hunter Henry is going to go down as like this like really awesome usher in of new talent at quarterback for this franchise. He pretty much became Mac Jones's number one target, and he's kind of becoming Drake May's number one target. And now we've seen top 10 finishes two out of the last 3 weeks, three out of the last 6 weeks or last 5 weeks. He's been good. And the targets are there. 9 targets last week. He's a reliable guy, and the matchup this week against the Dolphins isn't necessarily a good one, but it's tough to gauge tight end specific things. They're not going to go there to stop Hunter Henry. They're going to go there to stop the run game, contain Drake May, and then they'll have to win things on the outside, and Jalen Ramsey is going to be doing his thing, shutting down the outside receiver. Opens things up a little bit, and all Henry needs is the volume. Again, last week, 6 catches, 63 yards, top 7 tight end. Boring, snooze fest, wake up, hey. Don't hate it. Don't hate it at all. But on the other side of things, the Miami Dolphins, this could be a get-right game because the Patriots defense just really hasn't been great. I know Christian Gonzalez is awesome, and that you know, he's projected to see a lot of Tyreek Hill. They can scheme Tyreek Hill open in a number of ways. And we've been chasing the Tyreek Hill blow up game. And at this point, it just seems like I'm going to keep thinking it's going to happen. And we're seeing it slowly just build. We had 19 fantasy points last week against what is what had been a tough matchup for wide receivers. The Raiders are actually surprisingly good at stopping opposing wide receivers. Still went for 7 catches, 61 yards, touchdown, top 12. This seems like a big game for him. And I know, like I said, Christian Gonzalez is good, but the secondary hasn't been not. They've given up 11.5 points over league average to wide receivers. It feels like a big get-right game, and that reflects pretty clearly in my ranks. I have Tua outside of my top 15 at quarterback. I think I'm going to have to make that change. I think I'm going to have to move him up. So by the time you're seeing my rankings, you might already see this change in things. It's a middle-of-the-road matchup. I'm going to probably end up putting him up. But yeah, just know that when you see these rankings on Friday or Saturday, just know that on Thursday afternoon, I was a bit nervous about it. I had an epiphany, if you will. I had an epiphany. Waddle, wide receiver 30. I'm just not, again, the matchup's good. He's not going to be on Christian Gonzalez. I just have a hard time ranking him below the likes of a Jordan Addison or Keenan Allen or Alec Pierce. So still have him up there, still in the top 30 guy for me. I understand if you're in shallower leagues, if you don't want to play him because he's been rough. So I get that. It's kind of a shallow league type thing. I would move on or at least put him on the bench in shallower formats where you can rack up some things and rack up a better player, a better projected player. Devon Achane, we're rock and rolling. I mean, he's just been so good in the passing game, so fire him up. And Jonnu Smith, top 10 tight end. The consistency's been there enough. It's not necessarily the prolonged volume. It's just consistency. He's been getting the ball. They seem to have found their middle of the field guy. You know, they haven't had one in a while, and they've kind of filled that role, and that's kind of capped the success of Waddle and Hill. But like I said, the big game for Hill is coming. Next game on the slate that we are going to talk about is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New York Giants. Baker Mayfield versus Tommy Cutlets. Tommy DeVito, the new starting quarterback for the New York Football Giants. The Giants are at home, but they are getting 6 points at home. The over-under of 41. Not great, Bob. Not great, Bob. So let's start with the Buccaneers side of things. Very simple. We are playing Baker Mayfield. Baker has just been so good this year. Even when he did not have the wide receivers, he's been awesome for fantasy football. In my ranks this week, I do have him inside my top 15. So in Superflex, of course, we're very excited. And 1QB even, I'm not panicking. If you can make the switch to a Jared Goff or a Bo Nix or Geno Smith, I would do it. But those guys aren't always available in our deeper league, so he may not be there. And then Mike Evans, for me, if he's playing, I'm playing Mike Evans. I'm tempering expectations a little bit, but I still have him in the wide receiver 2 range. So I will play him. I will say this, though. If he comes back healthy and reports are he's a full a-go-go, he pops in the cuck score, so I will be playing him, but I have him ranked that way. It's not really a matter of are you playing. And then at running back, that's what we're going to need. We need to talk about running back because low-key, Rashad White and Bucky Irving have been nice every week, and I'm going back to it. I mean, it's a top 10 matchup for running backs. They've both been good. They cap each other's upside, but I do have them both inside my top 18. I'm playing either one of them. If I have them both, I'm playing them both. It's a weird year this year. I've always felt uneasy, downright sick at times, even to play two running backs on the same team. But if I had Irving and White, I'll do it, especially in this matchup. Again, top 10 matchup for running backs. And of course, Detroit. You would be more than happy to do it in Detroit. And as far as Rashad White, he's still getting the A side of the production, of the volume. And he's still good. I mean, he's still good on a per touch basis, yards created per touch, third in the NFL, EPA, he's top 10. He's not just necessarily touched on the pen, even though those have been there. So Rashad White, Bucky Irvin, going to go ahead and play those guys. Now, on the other side of the ball, the New York Giants. DeVito, I'm not going to. I did try to, you know, you put in bids and Superflex just to add a quarterback. The one thing I will say about Tommy Cutlets, and I will call him Danny DeVito throughout the rest of the season a number of times. T-Rock knows, our guy T-Rock knows that I'm a huge It's Always Sunny fan. Frank Reynolds, the best. Danny DeVito. And then you have Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones, Tommy DeVito, Danny, DeVito, Danny DeVito. My brain will make that association so many times throughout the rest of the season. So I will apologize now and only now, because it will happen and you will have to take it with a grain of salt. What I will say about Mr. DeVito that is very impressive for him as just an athlete, not really, he's not there for fantasy. I'm not playing with fantasy. Like I said, he's outside of my top 20, but he had 3 wins last year as a starter for the Giants. Daniel Jones only had 3 wins since he signed that massive contract. Danny DeVito, yeah, I did it again. Tommy DeVito has won 3 games. Daniel Jones was 3-13 since he signed that mega contract. Let that sink in. It's pretty wild. As far as neighbors goes, I'm optimistic. The matchup's good against the Buccaneers, and I'm just going to bank that Tommy DeVito locks in on his number one pass catcher. That's where I'm going with this. So I have neighbors in my at wide receiver 6. He's just been so good. The analytical profile is so strong that if he just gets that Cooper Rush, CeeDee Lamb type focus, and he can maintain the double-digit targets that he's seen in all but 2 games this entire season, he's just so good. So, and the matchup's good. So I'm going to rank him high. I'm going to give DeVito the benefit of the doubt. And then, of course, that running back, Tyrann Tracy. I mean, he has arrived in a big way. Of course, the Munich fumble stinks. Everyone hates that and hates to see it, especially as fantasy managers. But Tampa Bay, they give up a lot of points to receiving running backs. And, of course, we know the pedigree for Tyrann Tracy as a pass catcher. And I got him ranked a lot higher than consensus. I have him inside my top 12. Tyrann Tracy, I think, is going to be a beast this weekend. And I would suggest buying, throwing out offers. Sometimes fantasy managers can fall asleep a little bit when a player that isn't like on their forefront, you know, he was a waiver wire pickup for most. And they're just not often thought about off, you know, a lot. Sometimes those players can go on bye, and the people who roster that player can not forget, but also not be completely awake on or be woke. They may not be woke on that player as much, which presents a chance to buy. So if I could, I'm buying Tyrann Tracy. I love Tyrann Tracy this week. Now, on the other side of things, actually, we already covered the other side of things. It's just been really quick, I guess, to cover this game. There's not much else to talk about. Let's move on to another divisional matchup. The Dallas Cowboys are 3-7. Yuck. They head to the nation's capital to take on the Washington Commanders. Commanders are 10.5-point favorites at home, over under 45.5. I think it's pretty good for fantasy. I think that's a pretty good expectation for fantasy. And let's start with the Cowboys. How about damn Cowboys? So we'll start there with the Cowboys and CeeDee Lamb. We're seeing him fall in a lot of consensus ranks. I still got him in the top 10. He's at 8, so it's not as exciting as he's been historically, but still a top 10 play. And the reason being, Cooper Rush is just hyper-focused on him. And we'll take it. I said this last week. If he's going to get 11 targets a game, I'm going to play him. He's going to have a good game. And last week, with no touchdown, 18.6 fantasy points, wide receiver 14 on the week, again, making big plays. And they're going right back to the well. They're playing Cooper Rush again. And the Commanders have been the most advantageous matchup for wide receivers. And Benjamin St. Juiced is just not going to be able to stop him, especially if he's going to get the ball 11 freaking times. So CeeDee Lamb, fire him up everywhere. Don't panic on him. And as far as Rico Dowdle, again, he's right in that running back 2 range, running back 23 for me, middle of the road matchup. He was on the field until garbage time, and then they put Zeke in a clear garbage time role. So I you know, 5 targets again last week. Was on the, you know, that's 15 opportunities, and he was only on the field, like I said, 49%. He was off the field for garbage time. He's the starter, and the matchup's pretty good, and he's been decent. It's not exciting. And in this running back climate, it's even less exciting. But pretty good pass-catching metrics, pretty good elusive metrics. If you need a running back too, if you have them and you need a flex, especially with this bi-nato that we're experiencing, it's rock and roll. Now, on the other side of things, Commanders, we're firing it up. There's really just not a whole lot to we don't really have to dive into it much. I love Jaden Daniels, my number one quarterback in the week. I love Brian Robinson and Eckler. They have a sweet matchup against the Cowboys. Look at Mixon, how much he destroyed them. And then Terry McLaurin, it's a middle-of-the-road matchup for him, but he's going to get a lot of Trayvon Diggs, and Trayvon Diggs has just not been good this year. He's really kind of fallen off in terms of his productivity and what he's brought to the defensive side of things. So I love Terry Mack this week, top 10 play for me. He's been awesome on this team. Last week was his first true stinker on Thursday Night Football, and he still only has, he still has a lot left on the tank, in my opinion. I think the analytical profile kind of suggests that this isn't a fugazi. This is for real. A lot of touchdowns, so number one pass catcher for a really good quarterback. I love Terry McLaurin. Now, I've seen a lot of Noah Brown type talk. I got him as a top 50 guy, sure, but I just think it's either Noah Brown, it's Olamide Zaccheaus, it's Dynami Brown, it's Zach Ertz. Someone else is going to do something against this bad defense, just not knowing who wholeheartedly, not knowing who for sure. I just have them all kind of deflated a little bit. I hate that guessing game, but in best ball, hell yes. Noah Brown could absolutely pop. But yeah, that's where we're going. Then Zach Ertz, top 15 guy, kind of lost in the minutia of the position this week. So he's kind of in that muck. I'm not in love with him. He's not my favorite streamer or anything like that. But yeah, if you have him and there's just nothing on the well, but again, I'm playing Jatavion. I'm playing Disley. I'm playing Hunter Henry, playing Goddard, playing all those guys over Ertz this week. All right, let's move on to yet another divisional matchup. And this is the first in the 4 o'clock slate, the Denver Broncos and their 6-5 record head to Vegas to play the Raiders, who are 2-8. The Raiders are getting 6 points at home. The over under 41 is, I think it's pretty accurate. I think we know what to expect here. It's either going to be a completely low scoring game or a beatdown. And the Raiders could win. I mean, it's a divisional game, but if they do win, it's not going to be, they're not going to boat race the Broncos. Even as good as Brock Bowers is. Now, Brock Bowers can do no wrong. We'll talk about him in a sec. Actually, you know what? Let's start there. Let's start with Brock Bowers because, in essence, he is really the only confident play here on the Raiders side of things. You're not playing Madison. You're not playing a running back. Although, in deeper leagues, if you can pick up Dylan Lobb, pick him up. Supposedly, he's going to get an expanded role. We'll see. But he should be picked up. But Brock Bowers, 89 targets, 70 catches, 706 yards, 3 touchdowns, tight end 2 on a points per game basis, coming off of a massive tight end 1 week where he had 13 catches on 16 targets, 126 receiving yards, a touchdown, 31.3 fantasy points. Holy fuck. And he's just on the board. I mean, he's running a shitload of routes. Every analytical metric that you want to look at for tight end, it's number one, yak, number one, juke rate. Unbelievable. Number one in EPA. He's just bringing so much value. He's one of only two tight ends that are truly valuable when you look at the warp charts, him and Kittle. And Kittle's missed games, so there's a huge dip in what he's been able to provide because of that. But Bowers, man, Bowers has proven to be an absolute stud, a difference maker at a position that really doesn't have many difference makers. So we're going to play him. He's going to be my tight end 1, 2, or 3 rest of season each week because the usage is banana land. The skills are off the charts. 16 fucking targets last week. Holy shit. Brock Bowers is nasty. Now, Myers, I'm not really playing if I can help it. Of course, the volume's been there enough, so he's got to be a top 35 play for me. But he's just ahead of these big boom or bust guys, these boom or doom wide receivers. I might play one of those for the upside if you need it over Myers because he got an okay floor, nothing great, but the matchup kind of sucks. Obviously, Denver's awesome against wide receivers because they can just get after the quarterback. They got good secondary. So I'm not in love with Myers really at all this week. And the running back situation, I talked about it. You're going to stay away. Now, on the Broncos side of things, the picture is becoming quite clear. And that's showing that Bo Nix is good. I don't know if he's uber talented. I don't know if he's the best rookie in this class, which I don't. But in this system, he's competent and confident enough to be good. And this matchup has been good for tight ends, a top 8 matchup for opposing quarterbacks. He's running the ball, 4 rushing touchdowns, 5th in red zone carry. So he's running the ball close to the end zone where it matters. He has efficiency. I mean, his accuracy metrics are pretty good. They check out. I'm going to play him. I'm going to play Bo Nix. I got him as a top 7 play. He is going to go down as probably the biggest steal in rookie drafts. There are people out there. And if you're out there, give me a shout out on X at Matty Keyroom or get in the Patreon, patreon.com/SouthHarmon. And let me know. Reach out to me on Discord. Figure it out. I need to know. Because there are rookie drafts that had People had probably the 111, 112, and they were told, like, that sucks. Whoa, they're the 111, 112. You don't want that shit in Superflex, blah, blah, blah. And they probably came away with Bo Nix and Brock Bowers and just like, the fortunes of my fantasy have changed forever. Man, if you have that, let me know. I'd love to shower in your success. I'd love to be happy for you. But pass catcher-wise, for the Broncos, we're happy about Courtland Sutton. We're happy about Courtland Sutton. And I got to give a shout-out, Dynasty Youssef Vucevua. I think Vucevua, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but that's how it's like spelled on X. He's like a prospect guy, and he said weeks ago that people should be buying Courtland Sutton. Guy was right. Got to give him a shout-out. Saw that on Twitter, and I'm a real one, so I'm going to give a shout-out. And over the last few weeks, you know, over 14 fantasy points a game over the last month since the dud against the Saints, that absolute dud on Thursday night. He's been balling out. Dude's been balling out. And the matchup's not great, middle of the road, but his matchup against Jack Jones is highly exploitable. Matter of fact, let me look at the Cuck score. It's okay. The Cuck score doesn't suggest a massive game, maybe something more like last week, but last week we'll take it. 14.8 fantasy points, no touchdowns, 8 targets. We'll take it. Courtland Sutton's been good. The rest of the guys are really more best ball plays. Because I don't know, it's Vele, it's Franklin, it's Tim Patrick when he gets back, or not Tim Patrick, Josh Reynolds when he gets back. It's just a revolving door. But at running back for me, I'm going to go back to Javonte. Last week, if you remember, I did not abandon ship on Javonte Williams. Matter of fact, the ones who did, I did pick him up. And of course, last week, he bounced back. I wasn't ready to anoint Estime. And the reason was, I saw a quote from Sean Payton after that game 2 weeks ago. Basically said that Estime was the hot hand, and he rolled the hot hand. That's not enough confidence in me to suggest a full turning of the tide. Last week, it reverted right back to Javonte Williams' backfield. I mean, even with only a 51% snap share, 9 carries, 5 more targets, caught 4 of them, so 13 total touches, 87 yards, touchdown, top 11 tight running back on the week. And the Vegas Raiders are a good matchup for running backs. So I do like Javonte this week. As a matter of fact, I have him ranked inside my top 20, right in that range, you know, that Bucky Irving, Aaron Jones, Chuba Hubbard range. It's running backs are playing, running back 2. It's basically the whole fucking slate is riddled with those running backs. They're everywhere. The next game, the San Francisco 49ers takes on the Green Bay Packers, a battle of Kyle Shanahan. Or should it be Mike Shanahan? You go that far up. Side note, I got to buy a book. Am I in that Mike? I think it's Mike Silva book about the evolution of that offense and how it's kind of changed things. That's a side note, but I got to do that after this. But anyway, Kyle Shanahan, 5-5, 49ers in Green Bay at Lambeau, take on the 7-3 Packers. Despite the difference in record, Vegas sees this as a pretty even matchup, which makes a ton of sense. Only a point, a half point swing. The Packers are a point, a half point favorites in Lambeau, but the over under 47.5. I do likey. Feels like to me, these defenses can be exploited. They're good defenses. They're not bad, but they can be exploited. And we look at the Packers side of things. So the Packers defense played zone coverage on about 90.5% of Brock Purdy's dropbacks last year when they played. That was the fourth highest rate. But Purdy completed 20 of his passes in zone coverage for 178 yards. He went 3 of 4 for 74 and a touchdown against man coverage last week. I don't know what I'm really reading right there. I was kind of reading a stat and got lost in it. Either way, what I'm saying is the Packers run a lot of zone, and Purdy can take advantage of zone with his weaponry. He's going to have Kittle back, McCaffrey, Debo. These guys that are really good in space can exploit a zone defense. So this is a classic case of the host getting lost in words, everybody. Got lost in the words that I was writing or reading. Can't even speak. But it should be a great fantasy day, and we'll start with those 49ers. Purdy's been pretty great. Again, just proving the haters wrong, proving them haters wrong. I know he's dealing with a shoulder injury. Seems like he'll play. But again, accurate, pushing the ball downfield, sneaky rushing upside. Again, another 40-point rushing game last week. Quarterback 13 this week. I have him right inside my top 10. I got Purdy and Love back-to-back 9-10, so when we talk about Love, again, he's a play. But Purdy's been good. The thing, though, that's been tough to distinguish is the pass catchers. And we're just going to talk about McCaffrey's been great. You're playing him. There's no analysis there. But Juwan Jennings versus Debo Samuel has been interesting because Debo's kind of been playing second fiddle. And I don't know if that's to do with him punching the kicker and giving the stone-cold stunner to the long snapper, or if it has to do with his kind of injury plague season. I know he's just missed a ton of games, but he's been on the injury report a lot. He has missed some games. It popped, a couple of things have popped up in that injury list. And Jennings has been ultra reliable. And the thing that pops out to me, two things inside the top 10 for Jennings: 2.85 yards per out run, 2.36 yards per team, pass attempt, both top 10. So Jennings, for me, I like Jennings, and I think he's closed the gap considerably against Deebo Samuel. I still have Deebo higher at 22, but I got Jennings at 24. Both are top two, you know, wide receiver twos in fantasy. The matchup is pretty, it's decent. It's right outside the top 10 for wide receivers. So it's nothing, it's not a great, but it's not bad. And again, the over-under suggests it's going to be points being scored. So I like both of the receivers, Deebo and Jennings, but Jennings has been closing that gap. He's been really good. And then I'd love to see them get Ricky Pearsall back into things. I'm outside of my top 40, but I'm not giving up hope. I know he had the big zero last week, but again, going back to that Buccaneers game, they went, you know, they used him. They were, how do you say this? He was reliable when they needed it most, and they're a winning team that cares about those types of things. I just don't think he's going to go away completely. So I'm not playing him, but I'm not dropping him in fantasy, even in seasonal leagues. On the Packers side, and the Kittle, fire him up. You know, he's, if he plays, you play. On the other side of things, we'll start at the running game. Josh Jacobs is coming off of a monster game. He's actually been fantastic over the past month. Over 20 fantasy points, 3 of the last 4. And he was still running back 22 in the game that he wasn't. That was the Lions. But we saw an 80% snap share. So coming off the bye, it was his job. Most biggest snap share he's had as a Packer. You love to see it. And the volume's there. Top 5 running back last week. I've loved Jacobs all season. I have a ton of Jacobs throughout my redrafts leagues. And now we're seeing explosiveness. We're seeing elusiveness. We're seeing him be able to make tackles or break tackles. And now if we're going to see that volume, let's go. Tough matchup, though. I'll say it's a tough matchup against the Packers, but a Packers defense that has softened as the game has gone on, when Jacobs is a running back who will gain momentum as the game goes on. So I think that's a good mix there. So I'm playing Josh Jacobs. I got him at running back 10, a tad higher than most have ranked him. And then I mentioned Jordan Love, top 10 play. The weaponry, the potential shootout, you just can't get away from it. But the pass catcher sense, I will always have Reed number one, but Reed has fallen in terms of my rankings weekly. Now I got him at running a wide receiver 26, and that's because other guys have just stuck around. And Christian Watson last week was fantastic. And Christian Watson, I mean, the volume wasn't there, but I think that's kind of how he is best, right? That's where we like Watson, where he's not being peppered with targets, because when we've seen him, he catches about half of them. But when he gets effective targets, downfield targets, open downfield plays, and this was against the Bears, who were tough against wide receivers over 150 yards. So I'll always have Reed there. I think the role is more predictable game to game, but Watson is in the thick of that boom bust, that boom or doom range. So I have him at top of that. He's my number one boom or bust wide receiver ahead of Jeudy, Addison, Dell, those type of guys that I talked about, his teammate Romeo Doubs, who I still like. Doubs only had one catch last week, but this is a guy that can get two catches, both of them for touchdowns. So in best ball, you're excited to have him. In seasonal leagues, you might need him in the flex for this week. And again, I'm right outside my top 40 at 41. So not a terrible play. And then the tight end side of things, Kraft has just kind of steadily fallen off for me. They've just gotten the other pass catchers involved way too much for him to really sustain value on a per game basis. He's fallen to tight end 16 for me this week. But again, tight end mark, he only, you know, his high watermark has been 4 catches since week 4. Most of the time less than that. But he has had a game where he had 3 catches for 78 yards. So he has a big playability. But again, I'm playing Ertz. I'm playing Sanders. I've been talking about Sanders all episode. I'm playing Sanders, Disley, Henry, Johnny Smith, Sam Laporta, which is gross that might be a decision for some. So I'm playing him too. Let's move on to the last 4 o'clock game. The Arizona Cardinals, the leading NFC West Arizona Cardinals, take their 6-3 record up to the Pacific Northwest to play the Seattle Super Seahawks, who are 5-5, but coming off of a big win against the Niners. And speaking of, well, let me talk about the game before I talk about the big winner. The game projects to be a friendly one for fantasy, a very fantasy friendly game. We see a 47.5 over under. The Cardinals are getting a point, one singular point as road team. So that's really just a factor of home versus away. And neither defense, although the Cardinals defense has been better, I wouldn't call them good. And I would also call them an opportunity for my man, Jaxon Smith in Jigba. He here, folks. JSN has arrived. He is wide receiver 10 in my ranks. Over these last 2 weeks, 24 targets, 24 fucking targets, 17 receptions, 290 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns, almost 60 fantasy points. Unbelievable. He's here. They saw a massive game against the Rams going into the bye. They went right back to it in week 11 coming out of the bye against another divisional team. And quite frankly, was the reason why they were able to win this game. Every time they needed a big play, there's JSN. And now we're starting to see some of the metrics that we like to see out of the analytical profile starting to look a lot better. We're seeing the juke rig come up, top 10. We're seeing the yak come up, 7th in the NFL. We're starting to see these metrics kind of elevate as the role improves and as he continues to be a really dominant slot player. 86 targets now in the season, 6th in the NFL. And now what's nice about JSN, something that kind of lacked early on, of course he had that big game in week 2, but surrounding all those games, we're talking about less than 20 air yards. He did that a number of times, but over these last 2 games, 330 air yards. I'm going to say it one more time. 330 air yards. So they're throwing it to him deep. They're getting him open in space. JSN's here, folks. He's here. And this week we're firing him up in a good matchup, top 10 matchup. Garrett Williams is going to have himself a fit trying to stop JSN. And DK Metcalf, he's DK Metcalf. He's awesome. Top 20 wide receiver. I have him in the wide receiver 2 range as opposed to wide receiver 1. That's because of JSN. But in his first game back from injury, 9 targets, caught 7 of them, 70 yards, 14 points, top 30 wide receiver on the field for 90% of the snaps. I love him. DK is awesome. Again, decent matchup this week against Sean Murphy Bunting, who has been kind of a good matchup for wide receivers historically. And then I go ahead and look at the Cuck score. Ooh, DK Metcalf number 2 in the Cuck score. DK Metcalf number 2 in the Cuck score. Bing bong. Uh-oh. There he is, DK Metcalf. I'm sorry to take the cadence from Jerry O'Connell when he does part of my take, but it's so funny. It's so funny. It's just so funny. I can't help it. It's my brain. It just takes over. And running back, Kenneth Walker, awesome player. Good matchup. Should be good. Top 10 play. You're playing him. Nothing, you know, not a lot of analysis there. And if I like the pass catchers, I like the offense, I like the game total, I'm going to like the quarterback. So I got Geno at 6. His counterpart, Kyler Murray, I've met quarterback 4 this week. Again, give me the Konami code guy in a high projected scoring game. That's kind of where I typically find my reasoning in that regard. And he's been really good against his division. He was QB5 against the Niners. He was QB1 all the way back in week 2 against the Rams. So it was for his 3rd time in the division. I think he'll continue that hot streak. Like I said, quarterback 4. You're going to play James Conner. He's top 15 play. Not always sexy, but he gets the job done. And then Marvin Harrison, again, in this offense, you like the game total. He's going to have a tough time with Devon Witherspoon. Witherspoon presents some issues for Marv, but he's going to be rested, you know, coming out of the bye. And Kyler's looked at him in big situations. They've allowed him to take advantage, whether it's in the red zone or down deep. 6 receiving touchdowns, always makes him a threat to score. And just, you know, coming out of 5 catches on 5 targets, 50 yards, touchdown, top 15 receiver. And that was against DJ Reed. Yeah, I'm fading in the sense of the player. You know, he's super talented. So to have him at wide receiver 17, I guess this would be, objectively a fade. But still top 20 play. I'm going to play Marvin Harrison with confidence, no doubt. And then McBride, fire him up. I mean, what are we doing here? What are we doing? McBride's awesome. You know, McBride is a weekly play. So there's really nothing to break down there. Got 2 primetime games. Let's start with Sunday Night Football. The 8-2 Philadelphia Eagles head west to take on the 5-5 Los Angeles Rams. The Eagles are 2.5-point favorites on the road, over under 49. Gets you excited. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, guys. I'm sorry. It might bother you, but you're going to play. You're going to fire guys up. You're going to fire them all up. You're going to fire up Stafford. You're going to fire up Hurts. You're going to fire up Kyron Williams. You're going to fire up Saquon Barkley when I went running back this week. You're going to fire up A.J. Brown. You're going to fire up Devontae Smith. I've mentioned Dallas Goedert as a streamer over and over and over in this episode. I'm not going to, you don't really have to talk about it again. You're going to do it. And the other side of the ball, I mean, what are you going to sit Cooper Kupp? Nope, you're not a dunce. You're going to play Cooper Kupp. You're going to play Puka Nacua. What I will say, though, in terms of the third wide receiver, I've decided to stay away from the third wide receiver on the Rams because it could just be Kyron Williams. Then some Davis Allen got some targets. It's DeMarcus Robinson sometimes. Tutu Atwell sometimes. I'm just staying away. Best ball is best ball, but that's, you know, we don't have to make decisions there. I just need to stay away. And if you can, you know, go to your waiver wire and pick up a Ricky Pearsall or a Darius Slayton or a A.D. Mitchell or a Jalen Tolbert, I'm picking up all those guys instead of DeMarcus Robinson. And Eagles side, anyone else I've kind of talked about it all. It's all systems go. Hopefully it's a good game, you know, on Sunday Night Football and isn't a dunce because the defenses have been good. So there is that chance that it just becomes a defensive chess match. But we saw the Patriots play pretty well again, you know, fantasy wise, drive the fantasy game. Everyone was successful. The defenses are good. LA's at home, indoors. I don't know. I'm gonna lean into the over under. I'm gonna respect the over under. And expect some fantasy points. And on Monday Night Football, the last game of the Week 12 slate, first and foremost, thank you guys so much for hanging out for the walkthrough Week 12. Again, Matty Cubam on X, head to SouthHarmonFF.com and SouthHarmonFF on in the YouTubes. Get all that going. But the last game we're going to cover, Baltimore Ravens 7-4. They also head to La La Land to take on the 7-3 Chargers. Go, Chargers, go. 2.5-point favorites for the Ravens are a bit slower than I think we would have projected 2 weeks ago, but here we are. 47 over under, though. Me likey that. And it's reflective. We'll start with the Ravens side of things. Lamar, love him, top three guy. Derrick Henry, love him, top eight guy. Even though the matchup's tough for Henry, Derrick Henry. It only takes one. And if he does it twice, holy shit. Receiver wise, we love Zay Flowers. Zay Flowers has been that second year break. Well, JSN's also been. Quinn Johnson's been good. I mean, they're all kind of playing. These are third year guys. But are they third year guys? No, they're second year guys. They're second year guys. Yeah, I was right. Follow your gut, Kiwi. Follow your gut. But Zay Flowers, again, last week, another high-volume game, 6 targets. I know he only caught 2 of them. They went away from him in the second half, but he was on the field 85% of the time. And he, you know, wide receiver 35 when it was a terrible game, you'll take it because we know that the ceiling games are there. He has that top 20 wide receiver type ceiling. And I like him this week, so of course we're going to fire up Zay Flowers. And Mark Andrews has been back-to-back down week, so if you want to go the hot hand like a Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry, Will Disley, Jatavion Sanders, they're within a stone's throw, but I still have Mark Andrews as a top 10 guy because we've seen him being relied on. We've seen him get the opportunity to put up big-time fantasy points, not just mediocre fantasy points, but be a true game-breaker at tight end. And like I said, it's been cold for majority of the season, including these last 2 weeks, or 2 of the last 3 weeks, I should say. But then the 2 weeks before that were really good. So I'm not going to fade Mark Andrews completely. He's always going to be there for me. But if you want to play the hot hand, the matchup, it's good, though. I don't know if I would. I wouldn't do it. It's a good matchup. But, yeah, that's the Raven side of things. And we're just waiting on Deontay Johnson here, folks. We're on Deontay Johnson watch. There's no way he's just a nothing. There's just no ways and nothing. I just don't believe that he just goes to the Ravens and is an absolute nothing. He's been a nothing. I just don't believe he'll continue to be a nothing. I'm not playing him, but man, is it tough to drop in 10 or 12 team leaguers. I would drop, especially if you're hit with the bye, because I'm not really excited to play him. He's outside of my top 60, so I'm not excited to play. So I'm really only rostering in deeper leagues there. But on the Chargers side of things, let's talk about Justin Herbert, folks. Justin Herbert has come alive. Justin Herbert has been, they've taken a lot of his responsibility away in terms of putting the team on his back. but they've allowed him to play in a way that he hasn't played since 2001. And right now he's on pace to have his highest yards per attempt, so they're letting him throw the ball downfield. And over the last few weeks, man, he's been good on the ground. Almost 100 rushing yards over the last 2 weeks. Three of the last four have been over 30. Back-to-back top 10 weeks. 3 weeks out of the last month have been top 10. And the one that wasn't was 12th, week 9 against the Browns. Herbert's good, guys. Herbert's good, and the system's been great. And you look at his analytical profile. He's, you know, got good accuracy deep. We've known that. Big explosive arm. We've known that. Good athlete. Good quarterback. And now it's a matter of just, you know, this is a total sidebar from the week 12 slate, but shame on a lot of these franchises that just didn't even give Harbaugh a chance, didn't even care about it. I mean, how did this guy not have an all-out bidding war? I mean, shame on the Browns, shame on the Raiders, just shame on the Patriots, shame on all these teams that just didn't care. The Panthers just didn't give this guy a chance. This guy was a difference maker. I'm talking about Jim Harbaugh. Went on this rant, didn't even bring up what name him, but Jim Harbaugh. He's been great for this team, and it's reflective. We're seeing it in fantasy even. Justin Herbert, top five. J.K. Dobbins, again, you're going to play him each and every week. He's a top, he's, you know, running back too, even in tough matchups, and Baltimore's a really tough matchup. But we saw last week both Najee Harris and Jalen Warren go over 10 fantasy points. So we're not going to completely fade J.K. Dobbins. We're just not as excited given the matchup. And then Ladd's here. Ladd McConkey is here. I got him at receiver 13. Big week last week in prime time. You're going to be in prime time again against a really advantageous matchup in the Baltimore Ravens. And then Will Dissly, again, I brought him up a number of times. I'm not going to bring him up again. Top 12 guy. He's in that range. I brought it up again. And that's it. That is the week 12 slate, my friends. Thank you guys so much for tapping in. Head over to southharmonff.com. Get the warp tool. Get the rankings, the articles. Head over to Patreon. We got the three tiers that you can jump in. I highly recommend getting the third or fourth highest tier and really become a member of South Harmon. Enjoy the perks that come with it, the rankings, the articles, the trade shows, the cuck score, all that good stuff. And then, of course, YouTube, South Harmon, get over there. We got our live shows, our live streams, our videos coming out weekly, and the podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Make sure you like, make sure you subscribe, leave a comment, leave a rate, review, get us going, get this podcast, share it with your friends, share it with your league mates, or your league mates friends. You don't want to share the league. You don't want to give them that hot fire. Help you beat you. But we're here to help you on the walkthrough. I'm Matty Kiwoom. Cody, I missed you. I'll see you next week for the week 13 edition of the walkthrough. Peace.